Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands. Let's magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Why are we here? We have come into His house. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. Amen. Invite His presence. Have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Him. We have come into His house to magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's stand. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Lift up holy hands. Let's worship Him this afternoon. Let us, yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, we praise your name this afternoon, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, inhabit our praise this afternoon, Father. Forgive us, Lord, of our faults, our failures, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We invite your presence, Lord. Bless your word, Lord Jesus. Bless your people. Thank you, Lord. And worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. That's your desire this afternoon. Thank you, Lord. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Let us, Lord Jesus. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. With all your heart once more. Thank you, Jesus. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. It's personal. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit come and take complete control. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Glory.
Amen. Good afternoon. Let's hit one with us this afternoon. Remember the request from this morning? You remember all the ones that we talked about? Lord knows who they are, and I've lost them all. So, but Lord knows who they are, so just be with them. Still remember that we're having a graduation reception for Josiah and Esther, July the 26th after the second service, which will be on Sunday. It'll be down at the Gillsville Park. So just remember that. On the ones I have, Sister Barbara gave me one, said, my teacher's friend, 5-year-old granddaughter, has stage 4 cancer. The children's name is Isabella. So remember that little girl with a special prayer this afternoon as we pray. Just remember the ones we prayed for this morning. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon, Lord. Lord, be with the ones that are maybe traveling on the highways, wherever they may be today. Come down, bless them, be with them, and guide them. Lord, be with the request that was mentioned this morning, Lord. All the ones that we're praying for, the ones that are sick, come down and bless them, Lord, and just be with us in this service. Be with us, young Isabella here, Lord. Just come down and take this sickness away from her, Lord. By your stripes, she's healed, Lord. Lord, remember all the other requests, all the unspoken requests. Remember Wade, give him strength. Lord, give us the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for you many, many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Amen. Glad to be in God's house this afternoon. Amen. There's a park that I try to do a little exercise. Sometimes I need to do much more. But this older gentleman, he's usually out there, and he's a little cripple almost. But every time I see him, he's always like, "Oh, it's an excellent day." He says, "Any day you wake up, it's an excellent day." Amen. I said, thank the Lord. So we woke up this morning with our mind on the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, oh, stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind, amen, stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, oh Lord, stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm walking and talking. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Glory. Stayed on Jesus. Oh, I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Oh, Lord. Stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind. Let's stand.
Sit on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, oh Lord, stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, oh Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you walking and talking? I'm walking and talking with my mind. Glory. Stayed on Jesus. Oh, I'm walking and talking with my mind. Stayed on Jesus. I'm walking and talking with my mind. Oh Lord, stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just the music. Clap your hands. Thank the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning. Glory. I woke up this morning with my mind. Oh, Lord. Set on Jesus. Oh, I woke up this morning with my mind. Set on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind. Oh Lord, set on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen, Brother Mark. Glory. Amen. To have our minds set on Him. Amen. That's a privilege we don't want to take for granted. Amen.
Dear Father, remember all those that aren't here today. Remember all those that are watching in on the internet. Touch Brother Wade as he's studying, preparing to bring the word. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing 45, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine.
You may be seated.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, let leaning, oh yes, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, oh, we are leaning, and leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, yes, we are leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, yes, we are leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have? Amen. Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my glory.
leaning on the everlasting on. Oh, we are leaning. Oh, we are leaning. We are safe and secure from all alarm. We are leaning. Yes, we are leaning. We are leaning on the everlasting. On what have I to fear? What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arms, oh, we are leaning. Oh, we are leaning. Safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning. Oh, we are leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. That last verse says, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Amen. What do we have to fear when we're trusting the Lord? We may not understand it all, but Lord, help us not to have that fear, and we can walk in that blessed peace. Amen. We'll get ready for our brother Paul. If he wants to come up, have a special. Amen.
Glory. Thank you.
I'm Paul Thompson from Minnesota. Matter of introduction, I'm happy for the warm welcome I've received, and no matter where we are in the message, I think we all can agree that we're not going to go in the rapture till we find that last foreordained, predestinated seed. So with that in mind, I'd like to sing this. You can follow along in number 92 in the songbook.
Thank you.
Speak, my Lord. Hear the Lord of harvest sweetly calling. Who will go and work for me today? Who will bring to me the lost and dying? Who will point them to the narrow way? Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I will answer, Lord, send me. When the coal of fire touched the prophet, making him as pure can be. When the voice of God said, who'll go for us? Then he answered, here am I, send me. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I will answer, Lord, send me. Millions now in sin and shame are dying, who listen to their sad and bitter cry. Hasten, brother, hasten to their rescue. Quickly answer, Master, here am I. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak, my Lord. Speak, my Lord. and me. Soon the time for weeping will be over. Soon we'll gather for the harvest home. May the Lord of harvest smile upon us. May we hear his blessed child, well done. Everybody sing the chorus. Speak, my Lord. Seek my Lord. Speak and I'll be quick to answer thee. Speak my Lord. Speak my Lord. Speak and I will answer. Lord, send me.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The brothers could pull up that song. It's called We Fall Down. We'll try that song. We fall down, we lay our crowns. It's a simple chorus, and hopefully they can pull it up and we can try to sing that. Amen. Praise the Lord. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Your greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy to the Lamb. Amen. We fall down. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Your greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. Amen. Let's try it together. We fall down. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Your greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. Amen. What will it be when we get on that side? What kind of worship songs are we going to have on that side? My, my, my. Let's sing You Deserve the Glory. He deserves it all. I just can imagine that atmosphere that's going to be on that side. Amen. But we can start today. Amen. We can create right here because he deserves the glory. He deserves all the honor. And let's bring that up, brothers. You deserve the glory and the honor. You deserve the glory and the honor as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory.
Yes, Lord, and all honor as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name. You deserve the, with all your heart, thank you, Lord Jesus, and the honor. Worship him with all your heart. Thank you, Father. As we lift our hands to worship, we praise your name. As we praise your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. As we lift our hand, worship him, invite him. Thank you, Lord. As we praise your holy name, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is, oh glory, no one else like you. Let's all stand, worship him this afternoon. For you deserve the glory. Yes, Lord, you deserve it. And the honor, oh, as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name, you deserve the glory and all honor, oh Lord, as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name, for you are great. You do miracles. So you are here this morning by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, Lord. There is no one else like you, for you are great. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Once more, Brother Wade can come out on that. You deserve the glory and all honor, oh, as we lift our hands to worship, as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory.
And the honor, Lord, we lift our hands to your worship and to praise your holy name. You are great. Sing it to him today. You do miracles so great. There is no
like you.
Let's give God a hand clap of praise today. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have everybody here today. All your smiling faces in this wonderful hour that we're living in. Oh, it may be dark to some, but I thought we had light. And if he's light, then we're light. And there's no darkness at all. Amen. Except the one you want to create. If you want to create darkness, go ahead. But that's not where God's at. He'll bring you out of that darkness and put you into light. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here on Sunday afternoon. And we know that that God's with us. He's right here. He never leave us or forsake us. He promised that. Amen. Just talked to Brother Andrew Glover. He said to tell each and every one of you hello. He's in the Virginias today. So we had a wonderful time last Sunday with Brother Andrew being here. So just keep him in your prayer. Also good to have Brother Paul Thompson with us from Minnesota. Did I do that good?
Yeah, sure. You betcha.
Minnesota? Huh? Huh? You betcha. Okay. Anyway, we'll get over all that. He talks like him and Rush talk the same, so if you heard Rush, you hear him too. So anyway, so he goes to Brother Don Hoffman. We had a real good time up there with him when we were there a couple of years ago in January. At about 6 inches of snow on the ground, 20 degrees. So that was perfect weather, perfect for Minnesota. But it's good to have him with us today. Also, I talked to Brother Tom Anastasia, the brother and sister that started coming to church here. His brother has cancer in his blood. His name is Joe. So he said, remember him. He's having to either, I didn't understand the whole text, but he's having to take care of him, I think, and take care of some of the family business. So that's why they've not been here, and they will return just as soon as they get back from wherever his brother's at. So just keep him in your prayers also. As far as what we were talking about doing again, Wednesday, if it's all right, Wednesday, let's do put our tape back up and do half. Since we're not doing anything for Wednesday, let's do that. And then Sunday, start back to where I'll send you a list of who needs to come upstairs in the Sunday service and the rest downstairs. Now, it's been brought to my attention, and I agree 100%. Sisters with children should not have to sit in the car during the service. You need to, men, gentlemen, whoever needs to make provisions and make sure that your wife and your children come inside the building because it is hot outside. But we'll still be doing the 107.1 FM station if you want to listen in your car or at home, or you can bring your laptop or computer and stay in the middle room like Boyd's Sunday school class. But in my Sunday school class in the big room downstairs, there's a monitor there for you to watch. So we just want to be cautious again and not give place to the devil. Amen. So God bless you. Let's go to Leviticus. Today is going to be part 4. We will be speaking today on the first fruits. The first fruits. I want you to realize this though. If you ever do go through and study and look at this, this is the first fruit. There is another first fruit. It's on the day of Pentecost. It's called the Feast of First Fruits, but it's also called the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Pentecost. But we'll get into that next Wednesday, actually. We'll get into that. This is the first of the harvest. This is the first of the fruits that's being harvested called the first fruits. And we'll see how it applies to me and you and how it applied during Jesus' time and how it exactly fell on the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection. So we actually, every Sunday, we celebrate the Feast of First Fruits because it happens the first day of the week after the Sabbath. And what is the first day of the week after the Sabbath? It would be Sunday. So God bless you, and let's go to Leviticus 23. Let's bow our heads before we get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us, Lord. As Brother John said before, any day that we got up and was breathing and was able to come to church and worship you, Lord, it's a good day. Father, we pray that you'd be with us, Lord, as a church here, Father, that you'll take care of us and protect us, be with the ones that are sick.
Be with the ones that are on the highways, Lord. Be with the missionaries on the foreign fields. Give them fruit for their labor, Lord. And all the little bride around the world, Lord, that we'll bind ourselves together unto you, Lord, and not bind ourselves together under a cloud of fear, but, Lord, under a, Lord, a light that shines in a dark place that you've given us, Lord, a place called Goshen to go to, Lord, that we can stay there, Lord, and be protected. Father, we pray that you'd be with, Lord, the ministers around the world, Lord, as we see the day approaching that, Lord, we need good ministers more and more to be able to preach the word, Lord, to the people that we're getting ready to get out of here. We're getting ready to truly take a harvest and be taken out of this world, Lord. And you're going to separate the wheat and the tares and bind us and take us home. Father, we long for that day, Lord, but we've got to go through this journey first. We pray that you'd help us through it, Lord. Be with us. Be with the service, Lord. You be the active participant, Lord, and be the one that gives us revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As Brother Dale was talking this morning, you know, foreknowledge is what God saw. Predestination is the predetermined journey that he saw. The journey's what's in right now. The journey's what's in between. This is your journey. This is your overcoming. This is your blessing part. Amen. This is your part to do. Amen. This is your part to do. God knows who's going to make it and who's not. You just don't yet. But if you'll do, I was telling Brother Bob a few minutes ago, I've been reading in Chronicles. And you read in Chronicles that God has said, God will tell this king, he said, I'll bless you as long as you do this, this, and this. And he would bless, like even Hezekiah, he blessed. But all of a sudden, one day, they decided to go after another god. You know what the first thing God did? He sent some Amalekites, he sent some Jebusites, and he sent some Websites, and he sent some Palestinians, and he would send them in to remind them. To remind them who they were. Then they would get on their knees and say, God, forgive us, and then he would turn around and give them the battle and drive them right back out. So that's, you know what? That's a type of me and you. That's our struggles every day. We get these little ites in us, and then we have to get God to come and say, you're not part of that. Come back and do what I'm asking you to do, and everything will be fine. So we thank God that the hand of the Lord is upon us in our journey. So here's the Feast of the Lord, First Fruits, Part 4, Leviticus 23. It's kind of a long read, but we're going to read it anyway. It's the Word of the Lord. Hey, if people can stand for 6 hours and listen to the Word of God being spoken in Ezra's time, then why can't we stand for 4 or 5 minutes for this? So, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. So they're not Israel's feast, they're God's feast. Amen. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, an holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now that has nothing to do physically with the 7 feast days. He has given an ordinance till they're going to work 6 days and take 1 day off, which is the Sabbath, which would be Saturday. All right, everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. All right. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Now he's fixing to tell them what the feasts are. In the 14th day of the first month, what is the first month? April or Nisan or March, April. Okay, Nisan or Abib. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We've done been through those two. We'll go over them just for a second to stir up your mind. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. So the first day is a holy convocation. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is another holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. In other words, no service work. All right? Because you can cook and do other things, but you can't work physically, labor for money. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, now here's the one we're getting to now, speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf. Now, so remember, they didn't do this during their journey. They only did this when they went in and got into the promised land. Exactly. That's when they held this feast. He just said that, speaking of the children. When ye be come into the land which I give unto thee. Now, the wilderness wasn't the land that God gave them. That was a wilderness of sin. All right? So when they come into the land, Brother Dale talks about many times, the old corn of the land, they didn't plant this. They just harvested. And shall reap the harvest thereof. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits, in other words, the first part, of the harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. So now this has a specific date. It is done on the day after the Sabbath. So that would be Monday, the first day of the week. Kind of strange. Jesus rose on, never mind. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf, and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. The meat offering, there shall be 2/10 deal. There's going to be 3 different offerings. A lamb, 2/10 deal of fine flour, an offering made by fire for a sweet savor, and a drink offering. So there's 3 different offerings in this. And a drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. And you shall eat, now this is important. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. In other words, you can't eat it until the priest waved it. Amen? So the priest had to take it and wave it, and then you could eat. Let's be seated, and let's eat for a little while. So the first feast, we're going to go over this real quick, was Passover. Now, we know what Passover was, so let's go to Exodus 12 and look real quick. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. So God told them what was the first day of their year. This wasn't man thinking it up. God told them, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speaking to the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, you shall take every man a lamb, according to the house of their father, a lamb for a house. So on the 10th day of the month, you took a lamb. You had to put it up for the 4 days, and then you made the sacrifice. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. You had 4 days to check it out. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost in the Word. You had 4 days to check this lamb out. It can't be wrong. Can't have a blemish. A male of the first year. There's your first fruits, because we're going to get into this. There was an offering that everybody had to make every a certain period of time. You even brought your first son and offered them to the priest. Now, not as an offering, but you did bring them before the priest, and the priest would sanctify them. First fruits and firstborn always meant something to God. Why? Because he sent his only son, the first begotten of the Father. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening time. All right? Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the side of the door. So you had the doorpost. All right? Sign of the cross. In the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. Every house had to have a lamb. Every house had to show the blood over the doorpost. So we showed that that was a personal relationship with God. You have to have your own lamb. God had to die for you, not for me. But no, God died for me, not you. But you had to have you had to know that he died for you. But most people in the world, and I hate to say this, but they keep Jesus on the cross and they say, oh, he died for my sins, or he died for the sin of the world. No, it's personal to me. I love that song, when he was on the cross. You need to sing that for me. Please do that, because you've sung it before. When he was on the cross, what? I was on his mind. If the Bible tells us that we were engraved in the palm of the hand, when that nail went through that palm, it went right through my name. Amen? I believe that. You believe that if you want to, but I believe he died for me. You got to make sure that you believe he died for you. Same way with this lamb. This lamb, especially the firstborn kid, said, Dad, if we done this thing right, you killed it right. You put the blood over the doorpost. Why? Because your life depends on it.
Right.
the first guy that was born hit, because the first people that were going to die were the first fruits, or the first people, or the firstborn was going to die that night. That's how serious it was. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the post and doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. So this is where you begin with unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water. Why? It's got to burnt with fire. Got to have burnt with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And we explained that. We burned the communion bread every night before the next day, because you don't want to hold over. Type of the manna, type of the Word of God. We love what Brother Andrew said last Sunday, but we're not going to go back. Sure, we're going to remember what he said, and we're going to roll that around in our head, and we're going to let the Holy Ghost take it, but we're going to move on.
Yes.
We're not going to keep... That's why I hate to say this, but there's a lot of people living, like Brother Brown said, looking in a rearview mirror. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet. We already know that. The devil knew it before you did. But what are we doing with it? We got to move on. Not go on past him. No, we just got to get fueled up with what he's already said. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet. Why? I told you, God is fixing to put these Israelites in motion.
Right.
All right? And your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Harrison, you'd be in trouble. You're the firstborn, buddy. You better make sure that blood's over the doorpost. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the house. You know why? Because the death angel went by and he looked at the house. And if there was no blood over it, he could enter. But if there was a blood, if there was a blood sacrifice, there was something died. Something died to take his place. Jesus Christ died to take our place. So that we can't die. Oh, we may physically die, but you can't die. A Christian cannot die. We only sleep. Amen? And that's because of the sin curse, because what we got caught into, like Brother Dale said, God knew all this. I mean, this is not a surprise. Nothing is a surprise to God. All this virus and all, that's not a surprise. You know what? He wants to know what you're going to do about it. You can swivel up and die if you want to, but I'm still going to be kicking and going as we keep going, kicking and going. And the blood shall be for your token upon the houses where you are. Houses. God don't live in brick and mortar. He lives in houses. And the blood shall be for your token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an ordinance forever.
Glory.
Amen? I love that scripture even more and more. So now let's look at the bullet points that we came up with on that one, and we'll just keep on going. Pull that one up if you don't mind. The first month, which was Abib or Nisan, which is March, April. And if you'll understand... what we were talking about a couple of Sundays ago, the priest literally, he didn't just have a job preaching to the people. The priest most time was the doctor and all the other different things. And during that time, he was a lot more than just a preacher. But the priest had to go out on the last day of the year, the last day of the month, and he had to look up in the sky, and he had to see how much of the moon was left over, so that he could say, okay, let's go to the next month, or let's add another month, or go back and have the same month over again. Everybody understand that? Because it's a moon cycle. It's not, we have just a set calendar. That's why we have to have a leap year. Okay? We have to have a leap year to keep everything coming back, because the feast were starting to be in the summer and then in the winter, and that's not when they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be in the spring and in the fall. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because in the wintertime, everything's dead. In the summertime, everything's hot, like right now. So on the 10th day of the month, they put the lamb up. They killed it in the evening. Each home had to have a lamb. You had to eat unleavened bread. And it had to do with the firstborn. They had to be ready to go. And the blood had to be over the door. But I love these three things. I want you to meditate a little bit on these three things here. And look how it shows us that could we be in the same spot and need these three things. Right? Amen. We need these three things. We needed a prophet to come in the last day to give us correct instruction. Amen. Let's don't have a problem with prophets. God sent them all since the beginning of time. He quit sending them in the end time. No, there's still more prophets to come. The two witnesses, there's two more prophets got to go to Israel in the Bible. So we shouldn't stumble at Malachi 4. And he didn't come to bring us another God. He didn't come to bring us another Bible. He came to bring us instruction of what's already been said. Amen. Same way, now then God sends them, this is what he sent the children of Israel, sent them a prophet, Moses, for instruction, sent them an angel to guide them, a pillar of fire and a cloud, and then gave them right from the get-go. That's kind of a southern expression, I guess. Is it? That's not, wouldn't be in Minnesota. Okay, all right. Get from the get-go. Okay, so that means from the start. He gave them a lamb. He gave them a sacrifice. He gave them a sin covering. Same way with you and I. Even though, as Brother Dale's telling us, we definitely walked in a world of sin. Everybody in the building. This is including everyone. We walked in a world of sin, but God gave us a lamb for protection. And then when we accept that blood, that's when our sins get washed away. And we become the sinless bride of Jesus Christ. The Bible says without spot or wrinkle. Now you say, oh no, you can't be perfect. And I don't say hate. I don't like when you talk to people about, you know, getting doing better and you know, doing what the Bible says. And the first thing they do is they go, you're not perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I said, well, that's not what my Bible says. That's not what my Bible says. I thought my Bible says, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And that we are to be without spot or wrinkle. White robes. So I'm just going to look what God said. I'm not going to worry about what man said. I'm going to look at what God said. Amen? Because you know what? Inside that house, at the Passover night, inside that house, they might have been some sinners in there. But they were still in the part of the family. And what did the death angel, now Zach, the death angel didn't come up and say, I know what you did, so I'm going to kill you. Nope. That blood was there. He couldn't go past it. There was a barrier there, and there's still a barrier there. When Jesus Christ shed his blood at Calvary, there is still a barrier there that Satan cannot touch you. That's why I said, thank God for these feasts that we can look at this and see that God's already done this. Yes, took a group of people that kept sinning even down through. The wilderness was even called the wilderness of sin. Right? It was called the wilderness of sin for a purpose because they were kept on sinning. But you know what? God, 10 times those Israelites sinned in the way. And you know what? God, even Brother Paul, after even they would do some awful stuff, the next verse he'd say, when you get in the promised land, this is what I want you to do. He never even paid attention to that. He knew they wasn't but two going to make it of the original bunch. But he knew there was that young group that was going to come up, that was going to listen to what God said, that was going to listen to what the prophet said and do what the angel told them to do, let the angel guide them. But we must not walk through this world condemned. We must not. Because if we do, then we lose the battle. The battle is won by us believing what God's already done for us. As Brother Dale's preaching, chosen, not chosen by Him. The Bible doesn't say chosen by Him. Because Satan was chosen by God to be the anointed cherub. Judas was chosen by Him, by God. But they weren't chosen in Him. Because see, the Lamb is what the sacrifice, that's what that death angel looked at. He didn't look at the situation inside the house. He looked at that covering. And they were covered. The death angel could not penetrate that blood. So he cannot get to you. God only allows him in every once in a while just to kind of peek over and give us a little problem to see how we'll handle it. But thank God that he sent us a prophet. He sent us an angel, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to guide us. And a sin covering that even as Christians we sin. Right? Even the thoughts, the very reason you're standing here, you're listening to me today and you gotta go eat after we get finished and you gotta sleep tonight means that you have a sin body that you're living in. Amen? But what about that guy inside? That guy inside is not covered by the blood. He is the life that was in that blood. That was totally weak. If there would have been a touchdown scored right then, y'all would have been screaming and hollering and shouting. And I told you that you covered by the blood and you just sit there and go, that's okay. Okay. Yeah, but what good is it? I had to make you do it. Luke 22 verse 1 says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So we were talking about last Sunday. Don't be confused. There is a day of Passover. Everybody got that? That's on the 14th day of the month. But that is also included in unleavened bread. Because you eat unleavened bread. And the Bible even tells us, now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. So it's included in, if you'll bring the chart back up, if you don't mind, Brother Anderson. He's doing double duty, but I'm glad he's about 6'8" with about a 10-foot wingspan. So he can get over here on this computer and he can go over here on this computer. In the same room. So thank God for Brother Anderson being a tall fella. So the 14th is the Passover. And then the very next day you start unleavened bread. But now remember, I told you that some people over there included in making an 8-day feast. Because unleavened bread starts at Passover. But Passover separate, because you don't kill the lamb on the 15th, you kill the lamb on the 14th.
Right.
You don't kill another one on the 15th. Not for that Passover.
No, that's right.
Okay, everybody got that?
Right.
All right? So it's a 7-day feast of unleavened bread. And we were talking about it, or matzah. We were talking about it last time. That matzah, we'll show it to you in a minute. Don't bring it up there now. But the feast of unleavened drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Now what happened is Jesus was killed on Passover, right? And then the very next day, which was Saturday, what happened was, now remember, Friday, he was killed on Friday. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Before 6 o'clock, because remember, in Jewish time, even now, the days are not midnight to midnight.
Right.
The days are 6 p.m. until 6 p.m. the next day. So in a couple of hours from now, Israel would be at 6 o'clock p.m. today. If it was the same time, you would already be into Monday. Everybody got that? So that's why that Jesus was crucified on Friday, but he had to be taken off the cross before 6 o'clock. Because it was not only a regular Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, Saturday, it was a high Sabbath because you brought in unleavened bread. Started on that day and you do no servile work on the first day. Everybody got that? And listen, he stayed in the grave, his body did that whole day on Saturday. But now remember, he was still working. Because remember where he went to hell. to preach to the souls in prison while his body, his dead body, laid in the grave on that day, because he couldn't do no servile work. Amen? Hello? This is perfect. This thing is so perfect. Well, I mean, why would we expect anything different? Jesus had to come and fulfill the Old Testament. Brother Branham told us that, right? So he fulfilled it to the day. Because remember, we're going to talk about in a few minutes, we're going to talk about first fruits, which happens on the day after the Sabbath. But remember this, and we'll get to it, keep in the back of your mind. Passover can be on any day that falls on the 14th. But first fruits always happens the day after the Sabbath. And it just so happens during that time, AD 30, that Jesus, when he was crucified, they all fell, coincided within the 3 days that happened. Not coincidence, brothers and sisters. Right. And it wasn't coincidence that 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, that same man came back.
Right,
right here exactly, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come.
Right.
Right. Amen. Let's read a quote here real quick before we get into unleavened bread. Brother Ram said in Witness, 1956, many was witness of his day, and at his cross when he was dying, the Pharisees, they should have known what the word said. The word gave witness when he was killed on, he was a Passover lamb, killed at the Passover time. He gave witness. The word spoke of him when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, when the lamb leaped like a hart. It was the word. Can you receive it? So he was killed on Passover. Then the very next day was unleavened bread. So let's go to unleavened bread, which is the next day, Exodus 12, verse 15. God tells Moses, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Now, what is unleavened bread? That is bread that has nothing in it to make it rise. All right? Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. So on the first day, you got to get all the leaven out of your house. For whosoever eateth leavened bread, that's in other words, something added to it. Just look what's going to happen. This is how serious God was with the people. I mean, we're talking about just a handful of yeast or a handful of flour. And God said, if I find that in your house, if I find that leaven in your house, your soul will be cut off from Israel. That's why we must realize that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that in our soul, it cannot sin. And will not sin. Because it's God. It's the unleavened bread of the Word. 7 days. 7 church ages. God sent us unleavened bread through Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Brother Branham. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. And now look, as we were talking about last Sunday, the first day you put away leaven. Whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in those 7 church ages, you're not going to make it. They didn't make it. But they had to take the unleavened bread of the Word. And in the first day, there should be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, a holy convocation. In the first church age and the last church age. Why did God talk about an alpha bride and an omega bride? That in each one, now, that doesn't do away with everybody else, but it makes that this first one got it started. And the last one had to turn us back to the first. Back to the faith of the fathers that was back in the first church age. So there was a holy convocation on the first day and on the seventh day. First church age and the last church age, seventh church age, there was holy convocation. We had to be the two bookends. There shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them. Excuse me. Save that which every man must eat. 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 Eat.
Amen.
Carcass. Wheat. The Word.
Right. Thank you. Amen.
But it's not of works.
Right.
lest any man shall boast. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread. See, he just went to the 14th day, so you see what I'm talking about now. Until the 1 and 20th or 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Realize that when even in the first church age, when they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, leaven was taken out of their house. Right. You know why? Because they're standing in a dimension now, in another dimension, and they have no leaven. The unleavened bread of the word that they received under Paul and Irenaeus and Martin and Columba, that's what put them in another dimension. And that's what put them over there, totally sinless, white robes, waiting to come back here to pick up their leaven. Because we gotta cover leaven here in just a few minutes. Well, next Wednesday we're gonna cover leaven. Because when you come back to the Feast of Pentecost, you have to take. Oh, and let me give you this little key. Everybody awake? Amen. Okay. This harvest of this time that we're fixing to talk about of first fruits, it's not a wheat harvest. It's not a fruit harvest. It's a barley harvest. All right, so there's this harvest coming up we're going to talk about is a barley harvest. Green ears. The next harvest we're going to talk about is the Feast of Pentecost, that's a wheat harvest. And then the next harvest we're going to talk about is a fruit harvest. Grapes and all those different things. We'll talk about that. Oh yeah. So we got three different things that pertain to harvest. So the first one we're fixing to talk about is a barley harvest. It's the first thing to come to maturity is barley in March and April. All right. Wheat does not do that. Wheat has to wait several weeks or so after that. We'll get into that. 7 days shall there no leaven found in your house. Whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leaven. In all your habitation shall you eat unleavened bread. And unleavened bread is what we were talking about. It's that matzah. And it's just a cracker that they roll across. It's really flat, what we take for communion. And it has stripes and holes in it. They don't even know what they're eating. They're eating a type of Christ that took stripes for them and had holes put in his hands and his feet. And they don't even realize that. They're sitting there eating matzah and they don't have a clue why. Well, they do think that the holes punched in the matzah is to keep it from bubbling up. You know, you see a saltine cracker every once in a while, it's got a little bubble in it. That's what they said. They roll this thing across it. But if you look at it, when I look at it, I see Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't see a cracker. I see Jesus Christ because there is the unleavened bread. Glory. There is the man that had holes punched in him. Amen. That had stripes on his back. Amen. For me. Right. I see that in the cracker. I don't see just a cracker. So look, there's seven ages. The unleavened bread. But now also remember, we were talking about last Sunday. You got to remember that the Passover is a type of what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. When I see the blood. Okay, everybody got that? Now we know that's going to happen at Pentecost, but you got to start right here and accept that sacrifice. Yes, right. So then you've got the very next feast is 7 days. Born again at faith. Faith is not an ad. Faith is your Passover. Amen. And then you got seven ads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. You don't get born again up here. You get born again at faith. Amen. So there's the Passover lamb being killed, and then you've got 7 days to eat what? The unleavened bread of the word. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Pretty simple. We go up the statue of a perfect man. I told you that's one of the most ill-taught subjects in the message. There are seven ads that we are required. We are required to have these ads. As Brother Dale was talking about, going on to what? Adoption. Going on to placing. Going on to the fullness of the word, not just one piece of the cracker. Hey, one piece of the cracker is okay. But if you're really hungry, one piece of the cracker is not going to do you any good. You want the whole thing. Amen? So now let's start with first fruits. Pull it back up to first fruits. Leviticus 23:9. I want to show you how perfect this is, Brother Bob and I were talking about this, and I asked him, I said, did you know there was a difference in barley harvest and wheat harvest? He said, yeah. But we're going to get into something in just a minute. And I had to look it up on the internet. It must be true. And the Lord spake. Paul's like, wait a minute. What am I getting myself into? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying to them, when ye be coming to the land which I give unto you. All right. Everybody got that? When you shall come into the land which I give you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Everybody got that? And he shall wave. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. The morrow, after Saturday, Jesus had to resurrect on Sunday to fulfill the first fruits. But you're going to see something in just a minute I found on the internet. But you're going to see the timing of this thing. The timing is so perfect to get all three of them in the same slot. Passover, unleavened bread to hit. Because you know what? Passover can be on any day. Everybody understand what I'm saying? How this is not a coincidence? Because it's on the 14th day of the first month. That may fall on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it didn't. When Jesus was crucified, it fell on Friday. Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first day, started Saturday. And then that was the first Monday, first day of the week, after the Sabbath. That's why they all three fell in the same boom, boom, boom. And that hardly ever happens. Hardly ever happens. But it happened when Jesus was crucified. Because you got to be accepted on the morrow after the Sabbath. So what are you saying, Brother Wade? Well, if the Passover was on Tuesday. Got it? If it was on Tuesday, now unleavened bread would start the next day. Not a big deal. But your first fruits couldn't have been the next day. Because it's the morrow after the Sabbath. You got to wait till the day after Saturday. Yep. There's a gap in there. God don't have gaps. He was perfect when he came and died, stayed in the grave, and he came up on the day of first fruits, the day after the Sabbath. Boy, what a mighty God we serve. Now watch. And you shall offer that day. Now watch. To be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So the priest on Monday morning, the day after the Sabbath, he gets that group of first fruits and he waves it. But this is what's important. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering, and the meat offering shall be 2/10 deal of fine flour. Now this is offering. This is not what you eat, because you can't eat until the first fruits have been accepted. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. In other words, you couldn't just go in there and bring the first fruits to the priest and then go eat. You had to wait till he waved it. You got to wait till the preacher preaches it. Sorry. You got to wait till the preacher preaches it. Then you can eat. Then you can eat what you've got in your field. But you got to wait for God to do the work first. And let that priest wave it before the Lord and be accepted. And when it is, then you can eat. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Because we're going to get into something here. Listen, Terrence, don't let nobody out the door. Hold the door right there. We're going to talk about tithing. Well, it's either that or marriage and divorce. One of the two. So we'll pick tithing. Because it works. See, I didn't tell y'all none of that until just now. But it gives you time to just continue sleeping, or we can talk about it. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Because look, let me tell you something. God Almighty himself offered his own body.
Amen.
Say that again, brother. Amen. God himself offered his own body. So that you and I could have eternal life. He offered himself as the Passover lamb. Literally, the blood was over the doorpost. And he took that leaven that he was living in, because it was corrupting, right? He wasn't living in a perfect body. And he put it in the ground. He put it in the ground. But he raised on that one scripture that that bread was not going to corrupt. And he rose on the first fruits, and he gave everything. That was the day, remember Brother Brown said, he proved who he was when he came out of the grave. Amen? Amen? He proved who he was when he said, destroy this body, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. If he hadn't come up in that time, he'd have been a liar. Amen? But he did. So as he did, then we can enjoy everything after that. But somebody had to get this thing started. And thank God it was God Almighty that started it. If God Almighty starts it, it cannot go wrong. Honor the Lord with thy substance, because we're fixing to get into that. That's what I said. We're going to get in a little bit of tithing here. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled. Look, if you give him the increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Amen. He's only asking for a percentage of your field.
Exactly. That's right.
He's not asking for, I want half of that. No. No. He just wants enough to where he can wave it before the people. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out. Oh, I think Zach Black kind of bursted out Sunday. That new wine got a hold of him. Yeah, I'll clap too. I don't know if I'd have survived that, but thank God he's only 20 years old and he can survive that. But thank God, you know what? That new wine took over and it was bursting. It was just waiting on a miracle. Is that all we wait? No. Well, we had our miracle. And as Brother John Durrett said, there's a miracle every day happens in my house when my feet hit the floor. Amen? So the Feast of First Fruits, look, the self-same day you brought an offering. Proverbs says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Let's go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah 10 verse 34. And watch this real quick. Now watch the time real quick. Nehemiah, and we cast the lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people. Now watch. The priests, the Levites, and the people. Everybody got that? Say amen. Please stay awake for a few minutes.
Amen.
For the wood offering, to bring it into the house of our God, after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed, year by year. to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. Now watch. And to bring, because remember, the Feast of First Fruits started a feast. It started, he waved it, and then all of a sudden, you can eat whatever's out here. Okay? Everybody got that? But this is talking about giving a first fruit of many things. And to bring the first fruits of our ground. Vegetables. Okay? Because we're going to look. God separates tithing. There's tithing of your money. Brother Dale talks about tithing of your time. And there's tithing of your fruit. Every time I get my first harvest of honey, Daddy gets the first jar because he's my pastor. He gets the first fruit. Now, y'all don't have to do all that, but it is nice to do it. God will honor it. Amen. And all the vegetables. The vegetables, the other day we were picking corn. He took the first two that come to maturity. Why? Because I believe in giving first fruit to the minister or to the priest. Because watch what's going to happen. You look how God's got this thing set up. Watch. And to bring the first fruits of our ground. Watch. And the first fruits of all fruit of the trees. Apples, oranges, pears, grapes, bananas. Grapes is on a vine freely. It's okay. Oh, Lord, it's a fruit, isn't it? Grape's not a fruit. Don't look over there like that. Year by year. Year by year. Unto the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons. We must take them to the... Remember what Samuel, remember what Hannah? She said, whoever the first one born, my first son, I'll give to you, Lord. And put him in service. It was Samuel. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle. As it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks. So everybody, the firstborn. To bring to the house of our God unto the priest that minister in the house of our God. Now I am not on a pedestal here today. Telling y'all you got to do all this to pay all this, but these people got blessed. Okay? And we've always said, if you don't pay your tithes, well, we can tell who don't pay tithes and who does. I'm just telling you that. You can see. Because God promised. He even promised a sinner if he'd pay his tithes, he'd give him a blessing. But are you willing to pay what I'm fixing to tell you, though? According to the Bible. And that we should bring the first fruits of our dough. When you get ready to make a cake, bring Daddy a glob. I'm just reading the Bible. And our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees and of wine. Where do you get wine from? Grapes. Wine and of oil unto the priest. To the chambers of the house of our God. And let me just get this real quick before we start on tithing and everybody shuts off and goes to sleep. It's meaning that you're giving this unto the Lord. Listen, if you tithe to Brother Dale, you're wrong. But him being the head priest, he gets the fruit of that. But you're giving unto the Lord. If you're not giving unto the Lord, then you're just not. See, I don't know if you give a 10% of your tithe, then you say, well, I got to do this. Come on. God knows your heart. God knows your heart because I'm going to fix and tell you in a minute. That's the first thing you're, why do you call it first fruits? Real quiet. As soon as I get paid on Friday, every other Friday, there's a check. Goes to Lisa's house. From the bank. With my first amount. Not after I done paid all my bills. That's not right. That is not right. But what I write it on the gross. If I make $1,500, a $150 check goes in the mail. First fruit. First thing. Not wait till the very end. No, no, no. Come on, people. You're robbing yourself. And we can tell. I mean, you say we, me and Brother Dale, we can tell. I may be a joker, but you know what? God does anoint jokers every once in a while to really realize what people's needs are. Sorry, you can get quiet if you want to. I don't care. He put us in this place for something. I'm talking about all of us, not just me and Brother Dale. But you trust us. I trust him to do anything with the money I give him. But I'm not giving it to him. I'm giving it to God. You know what? The Bible tells you you'll be blessed if you pay tithes. Now you say, well, Brother Dale took it and burned it. You've took the burden off of you. Brother John, your blessing's already, you've done what the Bible says. You've took your tithing and you've put it right here. And God's going to bless you. Now what Brother Dale does with it, he's got to either get a blessing or a curse from it. Right? Amen? So it's just real simple. Well, if I pay my tithe, Brother Dale's going to get him a new... Just forget it. You're paying your tithe to God. And the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithe in all the cities of our tillage, or where we raise our crops. All right, here we go. You ready? Hang on. Thank you, Brother Darty. I will. Just because you said go ahead, I'm going to go ahead. Here we go. All right, this is first fruits. If you don't desire to pay your first fruits to God, where's the Christianity part? Where's the part that we're not believing? I'm just believing that God said he would pour out the windows of heaven and give us a blessing if we do it. So now watch this. Let's go. I got this from the Greek lexicon. It's Strong's number 1181, so this is not my deal. This is telling you what to do. Now watch. A tenth part of anything, a tithe. In the Old Testament, there were three tithes. Most of you didn't know that. Three tithes. One was used to support the Levites, the minister. This freed the Levites to provide civil and religious leadership. And you know what? Just to make a statement here. We have some small churches around the message, but a pastor ought to not be tied up with three jobs and then be a pastor. This is just me. I'm just telling you. But look and see that, though. If Brother Colley needed something, I believe Brother Dale goes right there. And he's been doing that for years. God has allowed him to do that. But there's many preachers that are many pastors that has to work two or three jobs. If people will pay their tithe right, you shouldn't have to do that.
Right.
He should be free. This freed the Levites to provide civil and religious leadership.
Right.
Essentially, this tithe supported the government of ancient Israel.
Right.
Now, a tithe of this tithe.
Yep.
Brother Dale pays tithe. Y'all didn't know that, did you?
Right.
If you've been here long enough, you ought to know. Who's he pay tithe to? He pays tithe to the preachers that come and preach. He pays tithe back, 10%, puts it back into the kitty. Why? A tithe of this tithe
right.
went to support the high priest.
Amen.
Let me get out of the way so you can see. The next tithe was a tithe of the produce of the land and the first fruits. If you want to read Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 through 18. This tithe was the worship offering the Israelites gave to God and was used to support the religious festivals of the day. And I would say, to a degree, y'all do the same thing. Because when we have a dinner, y'all bring food, right? But now look, lastly, every third year, now this is the one that people don't like. But you're supposed to tithe again every 3 years. There's another tithe.
Exactly.
Lastly, every third year, an additional tithe was gathered to support the state welfare system. But watch, this went to the fatherless, the widows, now we do have a fund here that does that, and the strangers in the land. Tithing in the Old Testament represented 23.5% of the average annual income and corresponds with our modern tax code. Our modern tax system, Brother John's an accountant, that's pretty close. 23%, that's way back 3,000 years ago. 23.3% of the average annual income and corresponds to our modern tax system. Both are used to support the government for the good of the people. This government.
Yes.
The good of our people.
Right.
So how about that?
Amen.
So the next tithe, the tithe was the tithe of produce is the one I was looking at, or the first fruits. Because remember, they didn't have Walmart. They didn't have Dollar General. They might have had a Dollar General because they're everywhere now. But they didn't have a place to where they could go buy produce. Do you know they literally depended on the people raising a garden and bringing, say they had 100 pounds of tomato. Oh, I'm loud and I'm sorry. You okay? Okay. Some people lean back when I, especially Russ. Yeah, yeah. If you got 100 pounds of tomatoes, you took 10 pounds and you took it to the priest. If you had 10 pounds of corn, 100 pounds of corn, you took 10 pounds of corn. And that fed them all year.
Right.
Bring into the what? Storehouse.
Right.
Your tithing into the storehouse.
Amen.
And I just soon have your time. You ever took 10% of a 7-day week? How many hours that is that you're supposed to give to God?
Right.
But I just wanted to throw that in there. So let's go to Romans 8. I know you're real quiet because everybody's like, oh my Lord, what am I doing here? But to bring the first fruits of the ground. So let's go right here to Romans 8. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Now this is what I was talking about here, like going up the statue of a perfect man. Because remember,
right,
we're waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of the body. Now, you and I are not going to be stuck right here. Some might be here now. But the first fruits have gotten to bring us all the way up. Amen. The unleavened bread, we got to eat the pure. This is not your godliness or your patience. As Brother Dale said, there's two different meanings to all these. There's a godly meaning to those. A godly knowledge, a godly temperance, a godly patience. A godly brotherly kindness. Sure, well, you can be nice to people, but can you be nice to somebody that hates you? There's the deal. Yeah. Say it again. Amen on that. I heard you the first time. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain waiting until now. For what? Us. That have the first fruits. I'm going to read it in a minute. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first, Paul is telling us, we've got the first fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
In other words, we've got the mature part first.
Amen.
This is our age. Our age is the eagle age. It's up here.
Right. Amen.
We have the first fruits of the Spirit, even when we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let's go to the next scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. I love this scripture right here, and if you just read over it, it's so confusing. It says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. Now, our only hope is in Christ. But if it's only in this life, then we're just going to die and go by the grave, and we ain't going nowhere. That's what he's saying. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, hope. We don't have a hope. We have a surety. We have a surety. We are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, hallelujah, and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now everybody can come out of the grave. When he took his feet and he stepped out on the outside and he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He meant what he said. For since by men came death, for since by man came death. Whoa, now, what's that say now? By man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ raised a man.
Amen.
Because he was the first fruit.
Right.
He couldn't die something else and raise something else. No, he died in that body. He raised in the same body. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. We're not in the order of two church ages ago or three churches ago or four church ages ago. We're in this church age right here. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards us. Because you know what? First fruit literally means there's more to come. Because you got a first fruit. That means that that's the only one, that's the first one that come to maturity. We got some corn that we got to harvest tomorrow. There's some that's not ready. But there's some that is. There's some that got a perfect sunlight, that got the perfect fertilizer, heard the perfect word of God, and they come to maturity first. Listen, you can't put a seed in a soil that has no nutrition and expect it to grow. Look at your seed that God planted by the Son of Man. The different places they fell. The last one it says, good ground. I believe God put it in some good ground. And when He put it in some good ground, the first one to mature. But that doesn't mean you take that and wave it and then the priest says, well, I'm going to eat this and y'all all going to die. No, he's waving it saying, hey, I accept what you planted. And it has come up and it's going to keep coming up and it's going to come to maturity. Because this is only the first fruit. Listen, if we don't have a resurrection, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Him being though the first one up, we're going to see a resurrection. Brother Paul saw the people downstairs and he was taking pictures of some of the ones that have gone on that we've got pictures of downstairs. Amen. We're looking for them. They're not coming back old either. Right. Young man, young woman. Amen. Robert Tatum's not going to be the way I saw him last, humped over like this, with his fingers turned sideways because of arthritis. No, that's gone. Amen. That's done. That's done. Amen. Never will you see that again. But in every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit had to have one do it first. So we had to have a prophet in the end time to go to maturity. Go to maturity first so that he can proclaim that there's more to come. You can decide whether it's you or not, but I'm going to decide that it's me. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. Everybody okay with that? Say amen.
Amen.
Now let's go right here. Now I don't think they have this. So I'm just going to give you what the commentator said that really blessed my heart. Cause look, it says traditionally in temple times, the first fruit portion. Now remember, this is now going just, I'm going to be a little bit longer today. I usually keep it about an hour. So I'm going to go over a little bit extra just for Leah and Paul. Traditionally in temple times, the first fruit portion of barley was cut at the going down of the sun. On the weekly Sabbath. And presented at 9 a.m. the next morning in the temple. What Christ did? Early in the morning, the Bible says, the first day of the week, there was a first fruit waved. And when that grave came open, they didn't have to take 200 or 300 centurions to roll that rock. All Jesus did was went, and that thing just flipped out of the way. Because there was nothing going to hold him down. The term first fruits means that there are more to come. When the priest waved the sheaves of the barley harvest before the Lord as the first fruits, he was thanking God for the abundant harvest that they were about to have.
Amen.
The first fruits were the first, the very first of the harvest, as it was only the beginning of the abundance of the harvest that was about to come. When Jesus resurrected, that started the rapture, we know that. But that started the ability for me and you to grow to maturity.
Right.
Amen. Messiah, the first fruits of the resurrection meant that he was the first of the resurrection that would never see death again.
Right.
The abundance of the harvest of the resurrection means that there will be an abundance of resurrection in the future.
Right.
And we are recipients of that. Couple more things right here. The timing of the feast, it was observed once they entered the land. So you can't be the first one up if you haven't went through Passover.
Right.
If you haven't went through unleavened bread and went through that wilderness journey and come to what? The promised land. See, when you get born again, that's your promised land, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so look, the day of the feast, on the day of the feast, there would be no servile work. It was also observed on the first day of the week after Passover, which could be on any day of the week. The Passover could be on any day of the week. But first fruits had to be Sunday, the day after the Sabbath. All right? That's why we celebrate the feast of first fruits every Sunday. Every Sunday. There has been a sheaf waved over the people, as the prophet of God told us. There's been a sheaf wave that has given us an opportunity to have a resurrection. Even those that have gone on, even those that are down there in the room there with their pictures, they've went on. But guess what they're going to be? They're going to be first fruit coming back this way.
Amen?
Amen. Passover could be any day of the week, but as the Lord gave the feast of first fruits, it was only to be the one day, which was the first day of the week after the Passover. Now, a couple more things. First fruit pertained to barley harvest. Now, here's the difference in barley and wheat. Everybody awake, because this is very important. And listen to this. In Revelation 6, verse 6, I just got this sitting back here. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny. And you get three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and wine. Barley was the poor people's bread. Sister Cletus shaking her head. She studied it before. Barley is cheaper. The common people, I wrote myself a note, the common people heard him gladly. And barley, you say, oh, now what? He's got to be worth more than that. The Bible says, Jesus, who made himself a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory. You know why he resurrected? He didn't resurrect so that he could be number one guy. No, he was barley. He came up during the barley harvest. But he came up on the barley harvest so that there would be a wheat harvest. And the wheat is more important than the barley. You say, oh, no. God has bestowed all of his gifts on himself. No. He's bestowed all the gifts on you. He became barley so that we can become wheat. And wheat is harvested at the Feast of Pentecost. Aaron, what will that do for you? If that don't stir your soul, what? Your spoon fell out of the bowl, your bowl. Think about that for a little while. So first fruits pertains to barley harvest, but it is the first crop to come to maturity. In April, March and April. Then, the Feast of Pentecost, which is called another first fruit, it pertains to wheat. It matures second. So Christ had to come to maturity first. During the barley harvest. And then remember what happened in the book of Ruth. What was she gleaning? Barley. She was gleaning barley. Right. And actually, if you go back in the Bible, we'll stop right there. Musicians come. In the Bible, look at your loaves that Jesus turned into multiplying loaves. It was barley loaves.
Right.
Amen. So there's a difference there in the barley. Lay that down one more time. I got a quote right here. Let's read this right here. When their eyes were opened, 1964, but go ahead and come on. I'll do it. I can handle that. Now this glorious scene when we have before us tonight is Jesus up from the dead in the springtime, walking around. Up from the spring, the resurrection, the first flower to rise from the dead. Our Lord Jesus, he was the first fruits of them that slept. The Easter flower that came up, the first one that stuck its head up after the cold midnight of darkness and sin. He had paid the sin price and God raised him up on the third day. We believe that with all our hearts that God raised him up on the third day according to his promise. And we believe it according to the scripture that he raised him up the third day. He was the first one that raised from the dead, the first fruits of the ones that slept. Well, I got excited when I saw that barley. I thought, well, when you first look at that, it was considered the poor people's bread. But when Jesus came, he made himself lower than the angels. He made himself lower than us. Because you know what he done? He took on your sin. He took on your sin and my sin. We didn't, Brother John, we didn't have to go on a cross and have stripes put on our back. Right? We didn't have nails put in our hand. But the barley did. The barley had to be the first one so that he could come to maturity, and then he could look down the line and say, I got some wheat that's coming. Because he told them, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. You wheat, you're not ready yet. But I'm going to go off the scene. But in a few days, I'll be back. And the Bible said, and we'll get to it Wednesday night, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. And you could see that wheat. You could see that wheat. And all of a sudden there was a charge in that wheat, and that wheat stood straight up and said, men and brethren, this is that that was spoken of in Joel. We've had enough of those bugs eating. I got bugs eating my plants that home, and I'm going to take care of them suckers.
Amen.
Well, they're eating my food. Don't let bugs eat your food. I'm talking spiritually. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Get rid of those things. But the first fruits, he came and made himself us. So that he by his grace may make us him. He took stripes on his back, Brother John, that you'll never have to take. He had holes put in his hand, Brother Paul, that you'll never have to have. He'll walk through an eternity with a body with his hands that are scarred all to pieces for me and you. But you and I are going to walk in a perfect body that has not a spot or a wrinkle. And us old people say, hallelujah. No wrinkles. I'm just telling you what the barley told me. I'm just telling you what that common barley that the people eat, the poor people, heard him gladly because he was barley. He wasn't anything this great something, but he was the greatest thing that ever came on the face of this earth. And man didn't realize it. But buddy, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost came, they knew who that was.
Glory.
They knew who that was because Peter says, this is that was spoken of in Joel. And oh, he preached a sermon, Brother Ryan, he said, just for about 30 minutes. What a powerful sermon. He walked outside and he said, this is that. We've crucified the Lord of glory. And that 3,000 congregation downstairs, that little wheat was moving back and forth. They said, what must we do to have what you got? What must I do, Brother Dale, to have what you got? To have what you got. Peter said, repent. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That puts you in the field. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
From the dead, and he is Lord. All people, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus. Listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, one day you're going to have to bow because you have to bow to the King. Brother Bob, I want to bow to Him now. He's my King.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. And got him. Oh, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sing it again to him. Oh, worship him today. Oh, he is Lord. If he's not the Lord of your life today, I hope you don't sleep 1 second until you are. Oh, he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Oh, every knee shall folks, if he's not the Lord of your life, then somebody has to be. If he's not the Lord of your life, somebody has to be your Lord. Because we're human beings. We have to be led. We're sheep. But did he raise 2,000 years ago? Yes. But he has risen here.
Amen.
Jesus told the disciples, he said, when the Son of Man is risen again, you'll see these things. And we know the Son of Man's back. This is it. This is God in human flesh. This is the harvest that Jesus told them he's going to send the angels. He said, don't divide them now because sometimes they look the same. You got your mate believers and unbelievers and true believers. But those angels know the difference. You know why? Brother Bob, it's that same death angel that went through Egypt that night. And he knows whether you got the blood or not. And if you don't, he's going to turn right into your house. Listen, that death angel didn't die back there. He's still here. And he's still taking people. But if you got that blood over the doorpost, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. Let's sing that, what's the one, we have heard the message, Shalom? All is well. Let's sing All is Well just one time before we close. All is well. Is it?
All is well. We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well.
Think about it now.
Oh, there is a place of perfect rest behind me.
Before we go.
Oh, all is well.
Thank you, Lord.
All is well.
Thank you, Lord.
We have heard the message, Shalom, and all is well.
Sing it to it.
Oh, there is a place of perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all is well.
You know, when the high priest went behind, he was the only one that could go into that inner veil. And when those curtains dropped, they were so heavy. So Brother Ryan, when he walked inside that thing and those curtains dropped, it was silence. None of the outside world. It was all insulated. We're nothing but him and God. You need to find that place. And y'all need to find it quick. a place you can go to and you can talk to God without all this, oh, I've got this. Quit taking a laundry list into the inner veil. Just walk in there bold.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
And say, God, I have
Thank
a need.
You, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory.
We
Amen.
All have a need, brother.
Yes. Amen. Thank you,
he
Lord.
Said, come boldly
Thank
before
you,
the throne.
Thank you, Father.
Don't
Thank
creep
you,
in.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Throw that thing Thank back you, and say, Lord, it's just me and you.
Thank
it's not my mama, not my sister.
You,
remember the song?
Thank
it's not
God.
Them, Lord, it's me. I need you now, and this
Thank
is going
you,
to be
Jesus.
Intimate, brother.
Thank you, Lord. Lord.
Sister, this is intimate.
Thank you, Jesus.
Between me and God. There is a place of perfect rest behind that inner veil. And by the word and the message of the hour, we know where it's at. Hey, a lot of people don't know where the inner veil is at. But we know exactly where it's at. Sing it one more time before we go. Oh,
yes.
All is well. Sing it to him. Don't sing it to me. Don't sing it to your neighbor. Sing it to him. All is well. We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, there is a place, a perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all. Let's rest, Ruth. Rest, Ruth. Let Boaz do the work for us. Let Boaz do the work for us. Why we get all frustrated about all this stuff that's going on in the world? You better get intimate with God. Because if not, you're going to get to turn your head sideways this way, looking at other stuff, and you know what you're going to do? What'd Brother Brown say about the boy riding the bicycle? They asked him, said, how did you ride on that little bitty rope or whatever it was, a little bitty piece of 1x4? This little boy, some people would get on the bicycle and they'd fall off. But one boy got on that thing and he took off and went right to the very end. And they asked the little boy, they said, what's the difference in you and them? He said, oh, I didn't look where I was at. He said, I looked where I was going.
Glory.
I look where I was going.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, even driving a regular car, you don't look right at the end of your car, right at your hood. You'll be all over the place. What? Look about 50 or 7,500. That's what that little boy did. He wasn't worried about the one before. It could have been that then. He never saw it. He just saw the end of the journey. I can't quit.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
One more time.
Amen.
Oh,
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sing it to him.
All is well. All is well.
Thank you, Lord.
We have heard the message, shalom, and all is well.
Boy, what a peace.
A perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all is
well. Minds clear. Let's sing it as we dismiss.
Oh, all is well.
Go with God. See you Wednesday night.
All is well. Little bride, rest for all is well.